Hey, this is Alan Beller, the chair of the IFRS Foundation Trustees Due Process Oversight Committee. This is a public meeting of the committee that is taking place on April 16, 2020. We are quorate. All members of the committee are present on the phone. This is a telephonic meeting, except for Michel Madelain, who is excused and has presented his apologies. The agenda for today's meeting is first for the committee to consider a request and recommendation for a shortened comment period for an exposure draft of the IASB that would extend the effective date of a standard that is already in effect regarding classification of liabilities. The second item that's on the agenda for the committee this morning is to recommend whether to recommend to the foundation trustees for approval, a recommendation by the staff to the board that a comment period be shortened to 14 days, which is a period that requires trustee approval in connection with an exposure draft that would deal with the issue of lease modifications under IFRS 16. With that as by way of introduction, why don't we turn to the first issue, the extension of the effective date, and I'm going to turn this over to the staff to explain the issues to the committee.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. This is Neely Shaw with the ISB staff, and good morning, afternoon, and evening to everybody. And hopefully everyone is keeping well. As Alan mentioned, the first agenda item is to seek your approval for a shortened comment period of 30 days for a potential exposure draft that tomorrow the board may decide to issue to defer the effective date of classification of liabilities. The current amendments on the classification of liabilities are effective beginning January 1st, 2022, and any possible exposure draft would seek to defer that effective date to January 1st, 2023. And the primary reason to do that is that in light of all of the challenges arising from COVID-19, the staff is seeking to provide additional relief to stakeholders who have previously expressed when we were consulting on the exposure draft that they need sufficient time between the issuance of the amendments and the effective date because some of the provisions may necessitate them working with banks to renegotiate their covenants. This particular potential exposure draft is part of a larger package of timing considerations that the board will be discussing at the meeting tomorrow. And these considerations involve moving forward with our urgent issues as originally planned. So this would be the IBOR rate reform exposure draft, which was just issued last week, as well as the IFRS 17 amendments to insurance contracts. But it would also seek tomorrow to discuss potential additional time to give stakeholders to respond to consultation documents that are already issued. It would also seek to provide deferrals in when we issue future consultation documents. And then finally, to give an additional bit of time for the adoption of this new amendment on classification of liabilities. And then one final thing that I'll point out is, even though our goal here is to provide additional time as a general matter, it may seem a little bit odd that we're asking for a shortened period of only 30 days for a comment period. And the reason we're seeking to do that is, first, because we believe this is an easy issue for stakeholders to address in comments. And then secondly, we believe that it would be helpful for stakeholders to have clarity about the effective date sooner rather than later. And with that, I'll turn things over to the committee for questions and comments.
Nelly, I think thank you for that explanation, which is clear. The only question I have is, what basis have you taken into consideration to ask for 30 days, given that the effective date will be deferred for effectively a year?
Yeah. So our thinking is, as I mentioned, that the sooner that our stakeholders have clarity, the easier it is going to be for them to plan. I mean, right now, we can see that our stakeholders are trying to prioritize so many different things just operationally, in addition to all of the standard setting and accounting and financial reporting issues that are arising. So by having that clarity, we think that that would help them prioritize better, as opposed to waiting the normal 120 days and going through the normal process?
Particularly, just Sue here, because all that the exposure draft will do is say where it used to say 2022, now it says 2023. So it will be the quickest read ever for our stakeholders to decide whether or not they agree or not and to send us their comment letters. So I think given that tiny change, 30 days is you know, plenty of time to look at it.
Right. In fact, I was asking whether you think that is fast enough, short enough, given, you know, the exceptional circumstances that everybody's facing. And the other question I was going to ask is, the exposure draft will obviously, you know, highlight the potential extension, but nobody will know as to whether this is a done deal after further due process will have to be gone through. Is that correct?
The board discussion tomorrow will probably be an early indication, and then as the comment letters come in, I think stakeholders will have a pretty good idea of what direction the final decisions will be in. But you're correct that they won't know for sure until the final amendment is issued. In terms of your first point about a shortened period, we did think about that, but we didn't feel that accelerating it even further was necessary. We thought 30 days was a reasonable balance.
Just on that
last point, I think we need to be very cautious in going below 30 days on anything. I think it's warranted for the leasing amendments because of the timing points, which we'll touch on later. But given that the effective date is only 2022 anyway, so moving it to 2023 can be done sort of with plenty of time with a 30-day comment period. It's better to have, I think, 30 days because for many of our stakeholders to, you know, to focus on something and get us a letter in a 14-day comment period, it's a big thing to ask of people. So I think it's something we do sort of only when it's almost unavoidable, if you like, while still being responsive.
Sure. Thank you.
Alan Beller. I think it's worth noting here, one, the general underlying principle of the importance of the comment process to our due process. It's a crucial part of the way that the board gets feedback from the entire stakeholder universe. And dealing with comments and making sure there's time to comment and shortening comment periods has to be considered, I think, against the backdrop of the board has a pretty weighty responsibility to make sure that people have an opportunity, have as long an opportunity as they feel kind of tests their limits of comfort in operating. The second thing I would say is very specifically the way our handbook works. The starting point is 120. We can go below 120. The board can go below 120 if it receives approval from the committee, as it's seeking in this case to go down to 30. To go below 30 is a line in our handbook, and we're going to be dealing with that line in the next agenda item, but it's a line in our handbook that says that's a serious enough step that it has to go to the entire foundation board. The reason I bring that up is I think that reflects exactly the judgment that Sue Lloyd was talking about, which is that under our due process, one reserves going below 30 to the circumstances that are truly extraordinary, and where we where the board is has determined that that's a really essential step in its standard setting operations. So I think that's just the general framework, and that we should all keep it in mind, and that our stakeholders should understand that's kind of the way the board and this committee operate. Anything else? Okay. Are we ready for a motion? Do I have a motion from the committee that we approve the shortened comment period of 30 days for the extension of the effective date on liability classification?
I'm happy to move.
Larry, so moved.
Yes. You do it.
Second?
Approved. Yes.
Second.
Okay. All in favor, or given a telephonic
all in favor?
Nature? Anybody?
Aye.
Anybody?
In favor.
Okay. I think we have unanimous approval of that recommended course of action by the committee. Let's turn to the second item, which involves IFRS 16, the leasing standard. And again, it's a request for a shortened comment period, this time to 14 days, which implicates, as I noted just a minute ago, which implicates the handbook provisions that require the trustees to approve such a shortened comment period by a 75% vote. The agenda item in front of the committee this morning is whether to recommend to the trustees that they take that step. And again, let me turn this over to the staff to discuss the technical background.
Thank you, Alan. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Katrina Buchanan from the ISB staff. So I think you can take a general...
Could you speak up slightly, please?
Sure. Does this sound okay now, Alan?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah? So thank you. It's agenda paper 1B. And so you can take a paper, or take the paper largely as read, so I'll just give you a brief introduction. So the background for your discussion today is that tomorrow morning, the board will consider whether to make an amendment to the leases standard IFRS 16 to provide operational relief for lessees in accounting for rent concessions related to COVID-19. Now, if the board decides to do so, it will then need to publish an exposure draft. And that's because the relief cannot be provided either by the board or by the Interpretations Committee
without undertaking standard setting. So that means that in accordance with the due process handbook, we need to have a comment period. Now, as explained in paragraph 11 of the paper, if the amendment is going to actually help our stakeholders, then it needs to be finalised as soon as possible. And we would hope that if finalised by the end of May, it could still assist affected companies with a March 2020 reporting date and all companies with later reporting dates. Now, that said, whilst wishing to be as timely as possible, it's important, of course, and as mentioned, to give stakeholders the opportunity to comment. Not only is that a due process requirement, but as Alan and Sue have already mentioned, it's really important and key to high quality standard setting. So given that, if the board decides to propose the amendment, the staff are recommending that the board set a 14-day comment period. And we think this sort of strikes the right balance between acting quickly, but also getting input from stakeholders. Now, as mentioned, of course, a 14-day comment period is highly unusual. But given that from a technical perspective, the change is fairly straightforward, we think that most will appreciate the relief, and importantly, we believe useful information is still going to be provided to investors. So in this case, we think such a short comment period is justifiable and will still enable the board to get the technical input it needs. Now, as Alan mentioned, the due process handbook specifies that a 14-day comment period requires approval of 75% of the trustees. So if the board does decide to proceed with an exposure draft with a 14-day comment period, the board will then seek that approval from the trustees at tomorrow's trustee meeting. However, in advance of that, we thought it would be helpful to get your views on this short comment period today, both for the benefit of the board for its discussion tomorrow, but also for the full trustee body. And so with that, I will hand it over to you for discussion.
So can I just clarify that the proposal of, yes, I was just going to clarify that the proposal for a very exceptional 14 days is basically being on the basis of working it backwards so that if approved, it could be of use to many affected entities with a March 2020 year end. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah, we if everything goes according to plan, we think that enables us to get it done in time for it to be available and useful still for people, even if they've got March period ends or annual periods. And we think we can do that with 14 days. We've never had such a short comment period that I can recall. I think it would be, I don't think I'd feel comfortable with less than 14 days personally, because we need to make sure that people actually hear that there's an exposure draft out, have time to read it, and can write a letter that they can get signed. I think for us, 14 days is probably what we think would be the sort of minimum reasonable period of time to expect people to be able to have the time they need basically to let us know that they're okay with it and to read it thoroughly enough that if we've missed something that we should have thought of for the scope or something in the document, that they have time to really give us feedback that helps us make sure we get the drafting right. I think it's the minimum we think we can deal with, but still enables us to get the timing that we think makes it actually useful for people.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Actually, Sue, can I ask an additional point, which is whether, you know, extra steps are being considered to be taken to make sure that people will be made aware of this, because 14 days is an awfully short amount of time, particularly when people are so distracted with so many other firefighting or things that are happening
yes.
at the moment.
Yeah, that's an important point. So what we've done so far is that last Friday, when we decided that we would hold this meeting this week, the board meeting this week, and would ask propose an amendment to the standard to provide this relief, we contacted all of the national standard setters around the world. We've also contacted securities regulators. We've contacted the largest seven accounting firms and given them all a heads up that this is coming their way, and that the comment period we're proposing is 14 days to try and maximise the chance that those who are interested in our work are sort of standing ready and will have hopefully already read the board paper, so have a very good idea of what will be in the exposure draft and are readying themselves to be able to write comments in. So we're really trying to be as proactive as we can with information on the website and contacting key parties to make sure they're aware it's coming and they're ready for it.
Thank you.
Okay. Sue, it's Alan. One thought on that is, to the extent that there are places we can reach out that particularly communicate with our investor stakeholders, it would be good if the outreach that we're doing includes that.
Yes, that's a good point. We should contact some of the investor groups.
Exactly. I think that, given the shortness of the comment period, it would be an appropriate step. Good.
Alan, this is Ross. This is Ross. May I make a comment, Mr. Chairman, or would you like me to wait for a second?
No, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman. I would also, backing up what I think Sue said about the reason why it's important to do something fairly quickly in the 14 days, is that I think unless there's very quick clarity on this, we run the risk that in the absence of guidance, users might actually pick and choose. And one of the key points, which I think is very well made in the paper prepared for tomorrow, is that I think the board is keen that this exemption be applied consistently to contracts with similar characteristics and similar circumstances. So I think with that in mind, to avoid picking and choosing, I think time is of the essence. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think that's a very well taken point. Thank you, Ross. The only point I would make for the, this is exceptional relief or a standard change that provides exceptional relief in what I think are, everyone would agree, are exceptional circumstances. And I think it is clear from the board's work to date, what it's put out in terms of other standards that are being talked about, in terms of, if you look at the other papers that are being presented to the board tomorrow what the work plan looks like going forward, what is being slowed and what is not being slowed, I think the committee, the committee should be sensitive to the fact that to do the sorts of things that we're talking about this morning, there should be an appropriately high bar from a due process point of view, not from a technical point of view, that is none of our business, but from a due process point of view. I think the record amply demonstrates that the staff and the board are operating with exactly that perspective. That certainly gives me comfort in thinking about the items that have been brought to us this morning. Anything else on this one? I think the issues have been very well explained by the staff.
I think I've been in agreement. We know that I've been in agreement with the recommendation.
Okay, can we have a motion to that this committee recommend to the foundation trustees at their meeting tomorrow that they approve a 14-day comment period for the exposure draft regarding the amendment to IFRS 16 that the board is going to consider tomorrow.
Chairman, Ross is happy to move.
Yes.
Second?
I second it.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you. All in favor, or again, under the circumstances, if there is anyone opposed, please let us know. We take that as approval. The chair takes that as unanimous approval of the motion. Thank you very much. I think that is the agenda for today. I have one thing to say before we go off the public session, but before that, I ask, anyone else on the committee have anything that they want to put on the record? Okay. I will then close simply by saying that these are extraordinary times and that the staff and the board have been working more than extraordinarily hard to do the work of the foundation and the board. And I think we all owe them a huge debt of gratitude that they are doing it so effectively and so and with such effort and under such difficult circumstances. So thank you all.
Hear, hear.
Excellent.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I think that.
Thank you,
Jenny. That closes the public session.
Alan, it's Sam here. We just wanted a brief moment just to discuss the an update on the handbook review.
Okay, that would be fine. Go ahead.
That's all right for the committee. Thank you very much, Alan. So, as the committee are aware, we gave you a brief update in February on finalising the amendments to the due process handbook. Given even despite that February meeting taking place in the middle of February, we were unable to anticipate everything that was going to happen quite shortly after that. And as we've discussed today, our priorities have had to be focused elsewhere. We are still we haven't forgotten about the handbook. We are still working on finalising the drafting and finalising the amendments. I shared a draft with Alan and we're discussing his comments there. We also have put together a brief feedback statement and we're working on finalising the drafting of that. We anticipate to share the final draft of the document with the committee members in the coming weeks. In order to finalise those amendments, we will also call a future meeting of the committee in order to discuss those final amendments. And that's essentially where we are. I don't know if you wanted to add anything on that, Alan.
No, I think that's exactly right. Thank you for the update, Sam. We will be circulating a draft in the, I hope, not too distant future. We will give the committee an opportunity to review the draft, make comments, and we will then move to make available publicly the final draft, and then have a public committee meeting that will approve that draft. That is the step, that's the timeline going forward, but there are no particular times on it at the moment, and under the circumstances, I think that is just the way it is. Any comments or questions on that? I think we are mindful, both staff and your chairman, that we want to do this as expeditiously as we responsibly can. We have a commitment to get this done, and we will get it done. If there's nothing else, I think now we will close the public session.